Debug the hive, kick back, clear your mind.
The European Commission fined Google 890 million euros under the Digital Markets Act, a decision that has prompted public threats of U.S. trade retaliation. Welcome to Debug the Hype. I'm Alex Morgan, and this show is not affiliated with Reddit or any subreddit. Today is July 25th, 2026. That fine has suddenly turned into a test of whether trade policy, antitrust rules, and presidential power can be forced into one geopolitical fight. Spain declared a national state of emergency after wildfires forced roughly 80,000 people to evacuate across Spain and parts of France, with more than 100,000 hectares burned so far this year. The government has given its interior ministry direct control over firefighting coordination to speed resources to the worst fronts, which matters because authorities are explicitly linking the scale of these blazes to an extended hotter fire season. Watch this because the emergency affects tourism, air quality, and travel during peak summer months. Europol says a joint operation shut down about 4,340 websites linked to an extremist network dubbed The Calm, which recruited and coerced young people into violent acts and produced sexual abuse material. The agency warned the network operated across mainstream platforms as well as darker corners of the web, and it urged platforms and schools to do more to spot grooming and algorithm-driven radicalization. Keep an eye on this one. Takedowns can disrupt networks, but specialists warn the actors behind them often reconstitute on new services or private channels. German battery maker Varda filed insolvency applications, a move that threatens jobs and highlights worries about Europe's battery supply chain as EV and storage demand grows. Industry commentators point to management challenges, competition from large Asian producers, and gaps in industrial policy as factors. And many in Germany's industrial towns are watching closely because this isn't just a corporate failure, it's a test of whether Europe can keep strategic manufacturing onshore. Expect debate in Berlin about targeted support versus letting market forces sort this out. Start with the decision that lit the fuse. Brussels fined Google 890 million euros for breaching the EU's Digital Markets Act, finding the company gave preferential treatment to its own services and restricted app developers' ability to steer users elsewhere. That's the concrete action. The immediate reaction came from the US president, who framed the fine as an attack on American companies and publicly warned of a very big price to come, including a formal Section 301 trade probe and the possibility of tariffs. So what's new and why does it matter beyond headlines? Because this puts three normally separate systems, European regulatory enforcement, U.S. trade law, and presidential politics, on a collision course at scale. Let's unpack the legal and political mechanics. The EU's Digital Markets Act is a premeditated regulatory tool. It imposes structural rules on so-called gatekeepers and carries fines plus a 60-day compliance window. Brussels says it acted because it found concrete foreclosure tactics in search and app distribution. The U.S. response is not just bluster. The administration has already used Section 301 of the Trade Act, a Cold War-era authority, to impose sweeping tariffs recently. And after an earlier round, a U.S. court and ultimately the Supreme Court curtailed some executive latitude. Legal scholars argue those rulings put new limits on executive tariff making under the major questions doctrine. Others warn that a renewed, aggressive use of Section 301 could be litigated again for years. There's an economic layer you can't ignore. Tariffs are taxes on imports that ripple into supply chains and consumer prices. Economists watching the new global duties estimate annual costs in the tens of billions. Previous academic estimates suggested similar levies can add hundreds of dollars per household in aggregate. If the U.S. proceeds with a Section 301 probe into the EU's Digital Markets Act enforcement, the administration could justify retaliatory duties by framing Brussels as discriminating against U.S. firms, but those duties would likely draw swift legal challenges and market blowback. Corporations on both sides of the Atlantic would feel the squeeze. Tech platforms depend on integrated global markets and predictable rules for app distribution, advertising, and interoperability. Politically, this is high theater with real stakes. President Trump has used trade fights as political theater before. His posts called the EU's action robbing U.S. firms and promised tariffs. Brussels has made antitrust enforcement a priority and has the political cover of acting in its citizens' name to correct market power. The risk is escalation. Tit-for-tat measures can metastasize into broader trade disputes that damage industries far removed from the original complaint. Think autos, agriculture, or software services. On Reddit, users in economics and world news communities split along familiar lines. Some cheered a firm U.S. defense of home companies. Others warned tariffs always get paid by consumers in the end. That reaction matters because it mirrors what markets will do once duties bite.
There's also an institutional question. Section 301 is designed to remedy unfair foreign trade practices, not to police foreign regulatory reforms that the EU sees as domestic competition law. Courts will ask whether the executive can convert a regulatory disagreement into sweeping import duties. And even if legal hurdles are cleared, the commerce and treasury implications are real. Supply chains will reprice, cross-border investments may slow, and smaller firms could be collateral damage. The pragmatic watch point is the formal Section 301 investigation. If launched, that process will generate a record and, likely, litigation that could take years to resolve. Now switch theaters to Eastern Europe, where a different pattern shows the modern logic of war. Target logistics and morale to collapse an adversary's capacity without always engaging frontline formations. Over the past week, there were multiple strikes that together reveal a campaign to reach deep into Russia's rear areas and to hit distribution hubs that fuel the war effort. First, flames were reported overnight at Engels 2 Air Base in Saratov Oblast, a strategic home for Tu-95 and Tu-160 long-range bombers. The base is roughly 600 kilometers from the Ukrainian front line. An earlier strike reportedly destroyed a Tu-95 there. The proximate cause of the latest fire is unconfirmed. Local photos showed smoke, and Russia's emergency ministry warned of drone threats. But the operational impact is notable. Engels is a hub for strike aircraft, and damage there chips away at Russian strategic aviation's ability to operate from rear bases.
At the same time, Ukrainian drone strikes struck warehouses belonging to Wildberries, Russia's largest online retailer. Reported fires at multiple distribution hubs killed at least 9 people and destroyed a significant portion of Wildberries' capacity. Analysts estimate those sites accounted for about 12% of the company's warehousing footprint. Kyiv's justification is operational. The warehouses stored dual-use items, radios, body armor, other gear, that could be diverted to military use. Independently, the strikes do more than hurt logistics. They puncture a sense of insulation among ordinary consumers. Wildberries handles large volumes of small vendors. When their orders and livelihoods are interrupted, the economic pain reaches small entrepreneurs and urban shoppers, which can shift public moods inside Russia. Then there's the strike on a Ukrainian training ground in Kyiv Oblast that killed 10 and injured about 100 during a weapons exhibition and defense industry event. Ukrainian authorities opened 2 criminal probes, one into violations of war laws and another into possible mismanagement for holding a public event under martial law. That raises hard questions about risk management during wartime. Was the event adequately defended? Were civilian safety and intelligence risk considered? Comments in the Europe subreddit reflected the split between anger at apparent administrative lapses and recognition that Russia appears to deliberately target defense-related gatherings to produce terror and disruption.
What ties these episodes together is a tactical logic. Degrade the opponent's supply chains and symbolic resilience rather than only trying to attrite frontline forces. Drones and standoff strikes make rear area logistics vulnerable and, importantly, make the war visible inside urban life and commerce. Analysts note a pattern.
attacks on logistics and e-commerce hubs can be cheaper than hitting hardened military targets, but still produce strategic effect by disrupting materiel flow and sapping public confidence. There are second-order implications. Western militaries and defense industries are watching how Ukraine adapts, scales drones and software, and moves from improvisation to industrialized production. We already see joint production talks and doctrine updates. Allies are thinking how to secure logistics nodes and protect critical civilian infrastructure that has become militarized by use. For Russia, the math is different. Losing rear area capacity forces either higher inventory redundancy, more dispersion at economic cost, or a push for stronger air defenses further from the front, all of which are expensive and slow. Finally, there's the moral calculus. Strikes that hit platforms like Wildberries cause civilian economic harm and casualties. Kyiv frames them as legitimate against dual-use supply chains. Opponents call them dangerous escalation. The result is a fog of competing legal, moral, and operational claims that will reverberate through courts, parliaments, and the patchwork of public opinion on both sides.
Will trade law become the next battlefield where antitrust and tariffs collide? And can Europe and the U.S. keep economic disputes from bleeding into supply chain damage and higher prices at home? This is Alex Morgan from Debug the Hype.
Debug the Hype. Where the builders talk it through. Oh, yeah. From the glitch to the glow. Every line, every clue.
Debug the Hype.
Tune in, take that ride.